Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 94 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk some high school baseball tonight, and I'm so excited to finally be talking about some actual games. In a little while, we'll be visiting with one of the standouts on Ankeny's team, but right now I want to bring in my first guest. He is a senior shortstop on Ankeny Centennial's team, and he has helped lead the Jaguars to a 4-0 start this season. He was a first-team all-conference pick a year ago when he helped the Jaguars to a school record 28 victories. He is Keaton Gray. Keaton, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, you certainly had an exciting finish to last night's doubleheader against Des Moines East. You hit a walk-off triple in the bottom of the ninth inning to give the Jaguars a 10-9 victory in the nightcap. You know, so did you get a pitch you were looking for there?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wanted to end it in the seventh, but I got four straight balls. So, I mean, I got one. I'd seen the pitcher earlier in the game. They brought the guy back after the other kid had thrown 110 pitches. So I was right down there and took a swing, and it just happened.
I mean, did you know right away? Did it go in the gap, or where'd you hit it?
It was to left, and their left fielder was kind of playing in left center because I had hit one there earlier in the game. And he dove, and I at first thought he had caught it. So I was kind of mad there, but then I saw it drop in, and I just kept running.
There you go. Well, I wasn't there for the second game, so I didn't see your game-winning hit. You know, in the past, you probably would have been tackled by your teammates in a dog pile, but right now, because of the COVID-19 guidelines, you can't do that. So how did you guys celebrate the walk-off hit?
We had a lot of air high fives and fist bumps and stuff like that, but, I mean, there was kind of some illegal stuff that happened, but... It's all right.
Are you guys getting kind of used to these new guidelines?
Yeah. They have to spray down bats, spray down helmets, stuff like that. Just really getting into kind of understanding what we can and can't do.
Sure. Well, your team won the opener last night 13-1 in five innings. Caden Stewart tossed a three-hitter and had six strikeouts. You told me afterwards that his job was pretty easy because he knew he had a strong defense behind him. You helped him out along the way with an unassisted double play. You know, but he did a nice job, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a really good pitcher. When he's on, he's one of the top in the state, and it just really helps having a guy who can throw the whole game and not have to bring in the relievers.
Well, you guys got a lot of contributions at the plate from a lot of different players in both games. Jackson Powell and Tate Williams are a couple of newcomers to the lineup, you know, who've really made an impact, haven't they?
Yeah, we knew that coming into the year that Tate was really going to be one of our top hitters, and Jackson Powell's really surprised a lot of us. We knew last year that he had a chance to really become a big impact player, but he's really surpassed all expectations for us.
Well, I mentioned that you guys are off to a 4-0 start. You know, what do you think has been the key to the team's success thus far?
I think right now is the trust we have in each other. Just even the newcomers on the team and even the kids who have kind of rotated positions, we all trust each other to make plays, and I think that's the biggest part to our team.
Well, your team was unranked in the preseason. Were you surprised by that, and did that give you guys some extra motivation going into the season?
I mean, due to the fact we had so many newcomers on the team that we weren't surprised that we weren't ranked, but yes, it did give us motivation to see that even Roosevelt was ranked, and we played them really close. They're a really good team, but just giving us that confidence that, okay, we beat a top 10 team. We know that we could be one of them.
Well, you guys did open the season on Monday with a sweep over Roosevelt, who is ranked ninth. Those games were held at Principal Park. You know, do you think that sweep showed what you guys are capable of?
It definitely not only showed the fans, but showed ourselves that we just faced a really good team, and we're capable, if we play our best, to beat any team in the state.
Well, in the first game that night, Trey Morris threw a six-hyder and had eight strikeouts. I know Coach High told me that Trey kind of had to convince him to let him go back out there for the seventh inning. You know, were you confident that Trey could close it out?
Yeah, I kind of heard the conversation between Trey and Coach High, and Coach High wanted to go a different way, but Trey just wouldn't let him. And playing with Trey all my life, I knew that he had everything in him to finish that game.
Well, then in the second game, Trey Hansen pitched the first four innings before Dane Churchman and Ryan Vermeer came on to get the last nine outs. And I know Coach High told me before the season that one of his concerns was the team's pitching depth, but so far it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're going to see tomorrow night how it really shows, especially having six games every week. It's going to be tough to get kids out there, but I think we have a lot of depth, and even kids who haven't pitched yet could still surprise the team.
when you had a triple in your first at bat of the season and then scored a run to give your team an early lead in the first inning of that first game. You know, can you describe what it was like to play at Principal Park? Was it kind of a dream come true for you, you and your teammates to get to play there?
Definitely to start, we were kind of all nervous. Like, just the stage is so big there. I think it helped that they kind of restricted the fans, and so it wasn't so big. But, yeah, definitely was a dream come true for some of us, and we definitely want to make it back there at the end of the season.
Well, what adjustments did you have to make, you know, playing in that stadium?
I think just calming everybody's nerves to start was a big factor for us. But once it kind of set in, then we realized, okay, it's just another baseball game to us. We just got to play how we want to play, and turned out to be a great experience.
Well, I wasn't down there for those games. My wife was actually having surgery, and I was sitting on Monday, and I think she kind of wanted me to be over there. So I didn't get to see those games, but I heard how the Roosevelt players kneeled for the anthem, and I want to get your thoughts on that. You know, there had been a lot of discussion in the last week about whether or not any teams would kneel. Did you have any idea ahead of time that they were going to do that, and were you okay with them doing that?
So from my standpoint, we understood, and we had talked about it as our team, that if a player on our team would kneel, we'd completely respect and understand their decision. And I understood Roosevelt's position. Like, just as our country, we understand that it's their right to do what they believe in. But as our team, we decided that to honor the people that had served in our country, that we would stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very mature answer there, Keaton. Well, you guys will host Marshalltown tomorrow, and the Bobcats are off to a rough start. But beginning next week, your schedule really gets a lot tougher. You play doubleheaders against number 4 Johnston, number 7 Dowling Catholic, and Valley next week. And then you'll see number 1 Urbandale, number 2 Ankeny, and number 3 Southeast Polk in succession the following week. So you guys aren't going to get any breathers after this week, are you?
No, I think especially tomorrow we have to come out strong, because we know Marshalltown has a few good players that could really turn the tide for them. And then the week after, it just starts kind of getting tough, like Johnston, Urbandale. We know those teams can come out and they'll bring it every night, so we just got to do the same.
Well, your team will get another chance to play at Principal Park on July 1st when you face Ankeny in a doubleheader, and the Hawks are off to a good start as well at 3-1. You know, they're going to be really good, aren't they?
Yeah, they have a lot of quality athletes, 1 through 9 in their lineup. We'll have to come out, bring it every time, every pitch. I mean, because it just takes one pitch for them to get something going, and then – you know,
sure. Well, Brody Breck's going to be coming in here in a little bit, and you've certainly had an opportunity to hit against him in the past, and I'm guessing there's a good chance that you'll see him in that doubleheader. You know, what makes him so tough to hit?
Definitely the velocity. He brings it at, I think he sits 90, 91 and 92. I mean, that's what some people in the major leagues throw.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also got a good breaking ball that kind of changes you up, so I think you just got to jump on those first pitches that are right there, and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, you can't get down on yourself, and you'll get more at-bats.
Sure. Well, you've had some great battles against Ankeny in the past, both in football and baseball. And I know the coaches at both schools try to downplay the rivalry and treat those games like every other game. But do you get up a little bit more for the Hawks than you do the other games on your schedule?
I mean, yes, but you can't treat it like that. So, obviously, when you're warming up, you know it's Ankeny, and you want to prove that you're the best team in the city. But you also want to prove that you're the best team in the state. So, especially playing Ankeny in both sports, they're always a top competitor. So when you can come out and beat them, then teams in the other conferences notice that they're a great team and you went out and beat them. So,
well, because the season got off to a delayed start, you're only going to be playing about 4 weeks worth of games before the start of postseason play. You know, so it's going to go by very quickly. Are you trying to savor every moment of it?
Yeah, especially being a senior this year, and especially thinking like we weren't going to play. There were a lot of things that told us that we weren't going to play, but when Governor Reynolds came out and said that we were, it was really a shock, and we were really excited, and we really got right to it right away. So,
well, you mentioned that you guys would like to get back down to Principal Park at the end of the season. You know, do you feel like this team has a chance to make some noise in the postseason?
Yeah, I think our team chemistry right now is something that is going to bring us together and get us there at the end of the season, and also coming out and facing those teams that you said, the Johnstons, Urbandales, Ankenys. They're really good. So when we get down there and we have to prove ourselves in sub-state to get there, when we face all the number ones from those teams, it'll really prepare us to get there in sub-state.
Well, of course, last year you guys came up one win shy of making it to state. You advanced to the sub-state final before dropping a 6-3 decision to Southeast Polk. Do you think you guys learned anything from that loss?
Yeah, I think we learned that we have to come out strong. I know that Southeast Polk put up 5 runs in the first inning, and I give our team credit. We never bowed out. We always battled back. But just giving up 5 runs and then facing a number 1 pitcher, you're going to struggle coming out and getting 6 runs to beat them.
Well, Keaton, before we talk about your future a little bit, I wanted to ask you about the prestigious Burlsworth Award that you received after the football season. The Burlsworth Award is a national award honoring character and sportsmanship in high school football. You know, that was certainly a nice way to end your football career, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'd like to thank Scott Jarvis for nominating me for that and, like, giving me the opportunity, especially the new movie came out, and a lot of people have seen that, and it's really his story and how it kind of came into fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to see, like, that I got that award, and then the movie came out, and it was like a very nice tribute to what he had done.
Well, for those of you that haven't seen the movie, the award is named after former Arkansas player Brandon Burlsworth. You know, did you know much of anything about him before you got the award?
I didn't know much, but after I had received it, I kind of did some research and figured out that, okay, this guy was somebody who was really good. He ended up getting drafted to the NFL, so, I mean, there's not much you can say about a player who did that.
I remember reading up about it. I think he died like 11 days after he got drafted, something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, he died in a fatal car crash with a semi-truck. So, I mean,
those things
just
happen.
Tough.
Yeah. Well, Keaton, you'll be headed to Wartburg College in the fall to play baseball for the Knights. I know you told me earlier that you picked Wartburg over Coe and Simpson, two other schools in the American Rivers Conference. You really liked the facilities up there, didn't you?
Yeah. They're just putting in a new weight room up there, too. So, I think it'll be one of the best facilities in Division III and especially across the American Rivers, they really stood out to me.
Now, do you think you'll have a chance to play right away up there?
Obviously, I have to prove myself in the fall, depending on the weight room and stuff like that. I don't even know how much campus is going to be open with the whole virus thing, but proving myself in the fall will definitely be one of the top things that I have to do to be able to get out on the field in the spring.
Now, have they indicated their plans for him? You know, are they going to keep you at shortstop? You know, I know you can play some other positions in the infield.
I've talked with them, and they mostly want to keep me at shortstop, but if there's an opening anywhere else, there's always a chance to get in the lineup if you're swinging it well. So
now your sister Meg is playing soccer at Minnesota, so maybe your parents can combine some of their trips to Waverly and then to the Twin Cities, huh?
Yeah, they've talked to us a lot about how they're going to try and combine getting up to both. So I think it's good for them, and it's good for both of us to be in different sports. So their season's mostly in the fall, and mine's mostly in the spring, so they'll get a chance to see most of my games.
Sure. I'll bet they're pretty happy with your decision. Well, Keaton, thanks a lot for coming tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my second guest tonight is a junior pitcher and outfielder on the second-ranked Ankeny baseball team. He was named a third-team preseason All-American, and he has helped the Hawks to a 3-1 start this season. He recently committed to play football at the University of Iowa, where he will also try to play baseball for the Hawkeyes. So we'll be talking with him about that decision tonight as well. He is Brody Brecht. Brody, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys are off to a good start thus far. You had a chance to get the sweep at Ottumwa last night, but the Bulldogs rallied for 5 runs in the 7th inning to get the split. You know, that's kind of a tough way to suffer your first loss, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a good learning experience. You know, you can't win them all. You know, like Coach Bobman said, you know, you'd rather lose one in early June than you would in July. So, you know, we're going to put it behind us and move on from it.
Well, you made your season debut on the mound in that game. You pitched the first 4 innings, allowing 2 runs on 3 hits with 4 walks and 7 strikeouts. I talked with Coach Balvans this morning, and he told me that the umpire had a pretty tight strike zone in that game. You know, did it take you a while to adjust to his zone?
You know, it actually started out the other way. First inning, you know, I struck the first 3 out, you know, and then as the game went on, you know, I just started getting behind in the count, wasn't throwing first pitch strikes, you know, so that's what kind of elevated my pitch count. So next time I just got to be getting that first strike across and then I can, you know, lower that pitch count.
Well, yeah, you ended up throwing 89 pitches in 4 innings, you know, which is why Coach had to go to the bullpen. He told me that you do need to be more consistent throwing strikes. You know, basically you just need to be more efficient so you can go deeper in the game, right?
Yep.
Well, in the first game last night, you guys had a rally that was similar to Ottumwa's. You scored 5 runs in the 7th inning for a 6-3 victory. That rally was highlighted by an RBI triple by Jace Bauer, and then you immediately followed with a 2-run homer. You know, so did you get a pitch that you were looking for there?
I did. Right after Jace hit that triple, they brought in a new pitcher who was, you know, wasn't throwing too fast. So, you know, it was kind of like that perfect speed. And then, you know, first pitch was a ball, and then, you know, I was, you know, expecting another fastball, and you know, it was just right there. So I took advantage of it.
Did you know it was out right away?
I did.
Those are always nice.
Yeah.
Well, sophomore Tamden Webb Tate also had a home run for you guys in the second game last night. He's one of the few newcomers to your lineup this year. You know, he's got a chance to make a big impact this year, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he's been hitting it pretty good. We're excited. I think we got a deep lineup throughout, so we'll be dangerous.
Well, your team opened the season on Monday in impressive fashion. You swept a doubleheader at Marshalltown by scores of 19-0 and 11-0. You know, after missing the entire track season due to the COVID-19 outbreak, how anxious were you to get back on the field and compete?
I was super, super anxious. You know, it's been a while since I've, you know, competed. Going all the way back to, well, I guess I did do the UNI indoor meet, but, you know, it's been a while, and, you know, I'm just super excited to get out here for the seniors, you know, just because it's their last year, so.
We've obviously gotten a lot of recognition for your pitching ability, and sometimes maybe your teammates get overlooked a little bit. But, boy, on Monday, two of your teammates really threw a couple of gems. Weston Folk tossed a no-hitter and had 13 strikeouts in the opener. And then Sam Landrews fired a one-hitter and had 12 strikeouts in the nightcap. You know, so the pitching depth on this team is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Weston, you know, he's going to Iowa for a reason. You know, he's a great pitcher. You know, I think Sam has a bright future ahead of him, too, you know, so, yep.
Well, then up and down the lineup, you guys were hitting the ball over the place at Marshalltown. Folk had 4 doubles and 5 RBIs on the night, and you had a triple and 3 RBIs in the second game. And then your team's number 9 hitter, Carter Smith, went 5-for-6 on the night and drove in 5 runs. You know, there just aren't any, you know, easy outs in your lineup, are there?
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, one of our big, or one of our bigger assets is just all of our bats that we have in the lineup. You know, just you really just can't take a batter off, so.
Well, your team will host Des Moines Hoover tomorrow, and the Huskies are off to a rough start. But then beginning next week, your schedule really gets a lot tougher. You play doubleheaders at number 3 Southeast Polk and Valley before hosting number 5 Waukee next Friday. And then you'll see number 4 Johnston, number Aiken Centennial. They're not ranked, but they're good. And then number 1 Urbandale the following week. You know, that's just going to be a gauntlet, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's that's what you get playing in the CIML. You know, you're just going to play a bunch of good teams, you know, and then especially with this condensed season, you know, you're not going to get any easy days off. So we just got to keep working hard and be prepared.
Well, what did you guys think, you know, when you were ranked a second in the preseason? Were you surprised at all, or did you feel like you guys had earned that spot?
I think we earned it. You know, last year we were really, really young. So, I mean, we made it to principal, obviously. But, you know, I think the bigger thing this year is, you know, we're returning all those guys, so we just have more experience this year. So I think we can make a deep run this year.
Well, your team will get a chance to play at Principal Park on July 1st when you face Centennial in a doubleheader. And I'm sure you're looking forward to playing there again after going to the state tournament last year, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. You know, it'll be a great atmosphere. Two great teams that happen to be in, you know, the same city. So, you know, it'll be really good.
Well, I mentioned that Centennial, you know, was not ranked in the preseason, but they're off an undefeated 4-0 start. You know, that's not a team that you're going to be able to overlook, is it?
No, never. You can, you know, you can't really overlook anybody. So, yeah.
Well, we talked with Keaton Gray earlier about the Jag-Hawk rivalry. And you've had some great games with Centennial in both football and baseball, but the Jaguars did win all 4 meetings on the baseball field last summer. And of course, they also won the football game in overtime last fall. So I'm guessing you're probably, you know, pretty anxious to avenge some of those losses, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we got to get some back.
Well, what do you think is going to be the key for this team, you know, to get back to the state tournament this year?
You know, just consistency. You know, I think one of our big things is, well, especially we saw it last night at Atumwa, you know, we just left runners on base, you know, and we needed to get them in. So I think we just need to be more consistent, both at the plate and on the mound. So,
all right, we're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, we're talking with Brody Brecht, and we're going to talk a little football right now. You know, let's talk about the decision to commit to Iowa. You know, you initially had planned to commit at the end of June, but then I believe you committed on May 1st. You know, was it a case where you felt like you knew where you were going and that there just really wasn't any reason to wait?
Yeah, I had a feeling for a while. You know, I just didn't want to drag it on. And, you know, especially during this COVID-19 outbreak or whatever, you know, we just kind of, like, I really haven't had any, you know, time to do anything. So I just kind of, like, you know, sat on the thought of, you know, where I wanted to play, and I felt that was Iowa. So,
well, I know the Hawkeyes had already landed a bunch of recruits in the class of 21, including one or two other wide receivers. You know, was that a factor too, that you felt like, you know, maybe you better take a spot while it's still there?
Yeah, no, I mean, we had a group chat, you know, with some guys that, you know, or with the receivers that, you know, like, all right, we want to make this move so we can all play together. So, yep.
Well, I know you said that one of the things you liked about Iowa was their ability to put guys into the NFL. You know, they have a pretty good track record of taking 2 or 3-star guys and turning them into NFL prospects, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Well, you have to be excited about the level of talent that they'll be bringing into the program in your class. You know, it's shaping up to be one of the best classes they've ever had, I think.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we got a lot of talent, you know, at every position. So I think we'll be a really good class. So,
have you had a chance, you know, to bond with and to get to know some of these other recruits?
Yeah, no, I'm really close with Zach Tweet, you know, Justice Sullivan, Cooper DeGene, you know, me and him talk all the time. And then the other receivers, you know, Keegan and Arlen, we're all pretty close. So, you know, we got a good tight-knit group, so.
Now, is there a few guys still out there that you guys are trying to talk to, into coming there?
I would say everybody's, you know, the biggest one's Fedone right now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess everybody's trying to get him.
Well, Iowa's pretty well stocked at the receiver position right now. And I know you won't be joining the program for another year, but, you know, do you think you'll have a chance to step in and contribute right away?
I do. You know, my first year, you know, I might redshirt just because I'll be the last one there, you know, just playing my senior year of baseball. But, well, after this year, you got Brandon and Amir graduating, so that'll open up some spots right there.
Well, of course, former Centennial star Riley Moss is already on the Iowa roster. You know, he kind of made his mark on special teams his freshman year before getting a chance to play in the secondary. You know, if you get on the field, you know, on special teams your first year, is that something that you'd like to do?
You know, anything that'll help me get on the field sooner, you know, I'll do anything team needs.
Now, I know when you made your decision, you said that you were just looking at football and that you tried to take baseball out of the equation. But since you picked Iowa, you know, it's obviously going to give you the opportunity to play both sports in college. So I'm guessing Coach Heller was pretty excited when you made that decision, huh?
Yeah, no, he was. I wanted to focus on football. And then, you know, when I made that decision, you know, it was just really tough to pass down the opportunity to play baseball, too.
Well, there have been other athletes at Iowa who have been able to play two sports. Bo Porter was another football-baseball guy in the early 1990s. Of course, current Hawkeye Connor McCaffrey has been juggling basketball and baseball. Now, you would have to miss spring football in order to play baseball, but I'm guessing you have Coach Ferentz's blessing to do that?
Yep, no. Yep, I talked to him about – I had a Zoom call, you know, the day before I told them I was going to commit, you know, just trying to clear everything up, you know, just where I would be at this time. So, yeah, we're good.
Well, what do you think would be the hardest thing about playing two sports? Do you think it would be the physical demands, or do you think it might be trying to keep up with your academics, you know, while you're doing that?
I think a little bit of both. Obviously, number one is, you know, you got to keep the grades up, because if that doesn't happen, then you can't play either of them. You know, the physical demand will definitely be there, but I'm definitely up for the challenge.
Well, you mentioned earlier your Ankeny baseball teammate, Weston Folk, who's also going to Iowa to play. You know, are you excited about the opportunity to keep playing with him on the next level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's my best friend since day one, and you know, it's going to be really exciting to play with him.
Well, have you talked with Coach Heller about, you know, what your role might be over there, or is that still to be determined?
I think right now I would just say I'm going there to pitch, but I mean, it depends how I'd be, you know, I'd be hitting this year, you know, what the team needs up there, you know, if they need a pitcher more, if they need an outfielder more. So, I mean, I'm down for whatever. I do think just being a pitcher would just be, you know, kind of the easiest, you know, just because I'm playing two sports, and, you know, it'd be so much easier to just, you know, just get my throwing in than I would have to go, you know, get my fielding and hitting in. But
sure.
Yeah.
Well, as far as pitching goes, though, you know, do you think you'd prefer to remain a starting pitcher? It seems to me like with the high velocity that you have that somebody might be interested in turning you into a closer.
I told Bob and I said the other day, you know, I think my best shot is a closer, you know, just because, you know, with the velocity, you know, I can't. I mean, I do need to work on my endurance, but I don't think I can do that for, you know, 7-9 innings or whatever. But so, yeah, no, I'd definitely be open to being a closer. I think that's where I best fit.
All right. Well, now, before we talk a little more football here in a minute, I did want to ask you one other baseball question. You know, let's say you have a really good season this summer. If you were to get selected in the MLB draft next year, do you think there would, you know, you consider turning pro, or would it have to be just an incredible offer to make you think about it?
You know, I would say it'd have to be an incredible offer. You know, it'd be truly be a blessing, you know, be in that situation. But, you know, it'd have to be a good offer, just because I don't know if I could have this season, you know, or even if we get to play this football season, you know, I don't know if I could have it be my last year ever playing football. So, you know, it'd have to blow me away. It'd be pretty tough to, you know, turn down Iowa. So
sure. All right. So listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, Brody, before I let you go, I just wanted to finish up a little more football talk. There was some unsettling news that came out of Iowa City in the last couple of weeks with a number of former players revealing, you know, that they had been mistreated during their time in the program, and there were some allegations of some racial issues with the coaches, primarily against strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle, who has since reached a separation agreement with the university. You know, what was your reaction when you first heard about those allegations?
you know, obviously some things were said that, you know, people didn't know about. You know, obviously I'm not in their situation. I can't relate to them. But, you know, I think change was needed. And I think the program is, you know, tighter than ever right now. And I think they're, I think, you know, they're going in the up direction instead of the down direction. So, you know, I'm really blessed and excited to be part of this change. So,
so you didn't have any second thoughts about your commitment?
No, not nope, not at all.
Well, Coach Ferentz held a press conference and talked about making some changes in the program in light of these allegations. You know, so do you think there could be some positives to come out of this?
Yeah, no, I like I said, I think the team is, you know, closer than ever right now. You know, the 2020 class, you know, they've been having, you know, prayer circles, and, you know, I've seen that on Twitter. So, I mean, they're really close. You know, this 2021 class, you know, we got a group chat. We're all sticking together, so should be good.
Well, I got one last question for you, Brody. I know some of the Iowa players have indicated that they would like to kneel for the national anthem this fall, and I believe Coach Ferentz has said that he would like the whole team to either kneel or stand together just to be, you know, unified in whatever they do. You know, what do you think they'll end up doing?
I don't know. That's a tough question. You know, there's two sides to it. I think they're going to do whatever they feel is right and whatever they believe in. So,
well, I know a couple of the players have already said that they do want to kneel. I mean, you certainly understand their reasons for doing so.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. You know, with all this stuff going on, you know, there's definitely, you know, some unacceptable behavior towards, you know, some African-Americans. And, yeah.
All right, Brody. Well, hey, appreciate coming in tonight. It was a good conversation.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's S-T-A-N-B-R-O-U-G-H, at iowarealty.com. Hey, before I sign off, just wanted to pass along one bit of breaking news. I saw on Twitter here right before we started the podcast that Ankeny basketball star Braxton Bayless has committed to play for Indian Hills Junior College. So congratulations to Braxton on that, and we'll try to get a story up on our website on that here as quickly as we can here in the next day or so. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.